I heard that the guy last week went really long. So I don't know what, I don't know who brought that guy in here. Whoops. Is it going? Hey, there we go. So we'll do a little bit of review. We just pick up real quick at the end of where we were last week. What doesn't make music wrong? What's not wrong with contemporary Christian music or contemporary worship music? Repetition, we heard that again this morning. Instrumentation, and the reason I'm going over this is so we kind of get an idea, refresh our mind to what we're keying into, no pun intended there with music, right? Instrumentation, if the instrumentation is what makes it wrong, then the instrumentation is what makes it right. Well, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the music itself. How about the association? We saw that just because somebody writes it or sings it or something along those lines doesn't make the music automatically bad. Though there could be, and we're actually going to look at one of these examples tonight, a stand that we're taking as a church, a line we're drawing that is about association, but I'm not saying it makes something right or wrong. It's just we don't want to associate that direction, okay? So then dress. If the dress makes the music wrong, then the dress makes the music right. Well, that's not how that works either. The time, as in when it was written, right? We remember that David and a whole bunch of other people wrote songs in the Bible, and they had a specific date that they were written, and they weren't written before that date, and at that point they were new songs, and that did not make them wrong songs. The fact that music makes us move does not make it wrong. The movement. Now, there is some movement that is wrong, and if music makes us move that way, then something's wrong with the music. But the mere fact that the music makes us move does not make it wrong. We tried to illustrate that with Stars and Stripes Forever, and that fell flat on its face, if you remember. The fact that the musicians make money. Well, we can trace some problems when you do look at the money, but just because a musician makes money off of something doesn't necessarily make it wrong, because the priests were taken care of and they were the musicians. The volume of the music. Okay, again, there is something wrong with the guy thumping down the street breaking windows, but turning that music down doesn't fix it. This is one that we didn't have on there. This thing right here is not inherently evil. Okay? Now, if we get up and perform with it, is this thing wrong? Even if we perform with it. No, the performance is wrong. Right? And this doesn't make the music wrong. There are wrong ways to use it, but it doesn't make the music wrong. Does that make sense? And again, get rid of it, so it must be fine. Well, no, that's not how that works. Here's another one. Scooping. This is one of my favorites, and I'm sure you've heard it. And I will get on people, please don't scoop. But what if I sang Amazing Grace and scooped all over the place? Scooping would be like, Amazing Grace, right? And I'm not even good at it. So, you know, but did the scoop ruin or make the music bad? No. Was the scooping bad? Sometimes. Now, I'm not one that will always say you can never move on the same syllable. Well, because you could look through here and find a whole lot. In fact, how about this? It's a Christmas song coming up. There are a whole lot of notes on that same syllable. And there is no person on earth. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. There are a few. that can hit every single note perfectly spot on without moving, okay? But what I'm talking about is you go listen to popular music today, and they are just dipping into each note all over the place. But again, that performance technique doesn't make the music bad, though the performance technique can be bad. Okay, so those are some things. There's a lot more, but those are some things that are not wrong or don't make music wrong. So the question is, what does make it wrong? And we said very simply, the music is worldly, and we gave this little chart according to Gerder Music, which, by the way, if you look up Gerder Music, this was very fascinating to me. They are dedicated to the furtherance, or what was the word? She's not in here. I read it to my wife, and I can't remember the word, but preserving. They are dedicated to preserving the legacy of Christian rock. And I was like, ooh, okay. But they have this extensive list of mainstream, they call it, mainstream bands or mainstream artists, and they say, if you like this person, then you should check out this quote-unquote Christian group. One I changed on there just because we already had one with the Beatles, was another one, if you like Train, which I'd never heard of Train, so I looked up Train. And the first song that popped up had the lyrics. One of the lyrics in there was talking about how heaven is overrated. They asked if somebody goes and saw how heaven was overrated. So you can imagine that's a really nice, really good kind of guy, right? So if you like Train, this according to Gerder Music, then you should check out the Christian group Mercy Me. And I'm sitting there going, why in the world would I want to? If I got saved away from understanding, I got saved out of understanding that heaven is overrated, why would I want to check out anybody that would remind me of that person at all? That's just beyond my comprehension. So it's worldly. And then what's the problem with being worldly? Well, 2 Corinthians 6:15 says, what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And I would like to point out, this, we get it. Christ doesn't have any concord with Belial, right? So, but what about the part that he that believeth? Who's that talking about? Us. And it's just as strong, it's just as much of a rhetorical question to say, what concord hath Christ with Belial? The obvious answer is none. When we get to, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Well, I like it. Wait, what? No, the rhetorical question is very obviously the same. None. So why would I would have a problem with, this is where we get in trouble sometimes because we're so keyed into talking about music in the church. But understand, I'm not gonna jump down your throat or anything, but can I tell you, if you like anybody, if you listen to the music of anybody on this side over here, they are infidels. Now, we're not Muslim. We don't say we need to go kill them. We say that we need to go win them. They need Christ. But what part hath he that believeth with those people? None. And I'm sorry if, I'm not trying to be mean here, but if you're listening to them, you're not going to like godly music. It's going to sound weird to you. Because they aren't godly. And you know what? I'm going to go a step further. According to Gerder Music, this is the people that are promoting it. This isn't a list that I made up. This is them talking. Remember, their goal is to preserve the legacy of Christian rock. If you're listening to these folks over here, there's a problem. And you're not going to enjoy godly music. because you're getting your fill of this stuff. You say, wow, that's, but I like it. Yep, okay. But that's not what I asked. It's not what I said. What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? You say, those aren't infidels. Those are Christian people. Well, as I pointed out last week, a bunch of, I think it's at least half of the Newsboys, a Christian group, most, I think all of its members are pastors' kids of some stripe. They don't even know they're saved. And they're a Christian group? There's a problem. What else? 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." When we start listening to this stuff, any of that, what's going to end up happening is we get corrupted manners. We're going to not have good manners. We're going to have corrupt manners. It does, one thing does lead to the other. You say, well, how is that evil communications? Well, because music communicates things, and that's the whole point of what we're talking about, the language of music. Now, if we're not talking about all those things that aren't, that don't make music wrong, what are we talking about? And this is where I want to get, I want to try to stay as not in the weeds as I can with the technical stuff, but I'm hoping that it'll be clear. And if you want to see, I've blown it up pretty good size, but if you need to scoot up and see some of the stuff, if you want to see something a little closer, by all means, please do. But let's think about this, I mentioned this a little bit last week, but think about written language. Is there anything wrong with individual letters, any individual letter in the English alphabet, or any alphabet for that matter? Okay? Is there anything wrong necessarily with any syllable within a language? Okay? Now, once we get to words, where you start combining letters and you combine syllables and you get a whole word, now we can start having problems, can't we? But what if you have a whole bunch of good words and then you put them together, or let's say not good words, because aren't there words, there are bad words, right? Now, are there words that can be good or bad? The same word. Yeah. So when we put, let's call those neutral words, right? When we put neutral words in a certain order, and we get a phrase, we haven't gotten all the way to a sentence yet, we just have a phrase, neutral words can become bad. Maybe the word doesn't become bad, but the phrase is bad. And when you put some phrases together, we could even have some neutral phrases, couldn't we? And when you put them together into a sentence, that sentence could become bad. Or maybe you could have some neutral sentences and you put them together in a certain way and you end up with a bad paragraph. Likewise, let's go to a chapter or a book, or you could keep going, right? But if we start at a letter and we say, there's nothing wrong with language, come on, can you show me a letter that's bad? No, I can't. See? So language is just fine. It doesn't matter what I say. Wrong answer. Would you like to try again? So let's think about this in music. So if that's, we get that with written language, right? So let's look at some basics of building blocks, if you will, or the alphabet of music. Now, music is a little bit more complicated than just letters, syllables, words, phrases, sentences, etc. But we're going to start in this order. There are three elements to music, three main elements to music. There's some other secondaries, but rhythm. And we talked last week that rhythm is the way that notes align in time with the meter of a song. And again, we tried to illustrate this, but I'm going to illustrate it a little bit different, or use a different illustration today. If I were to say, if I were to sing, or if we were to play the Stars and Stripes Forever to any, I think, probably most of you, we would play the Stars and Stripes Forever, and you would know when to march, right? And it's not because you're musical. It's because there's a meter, okay? It is march music. There is a reason that marches were written to help groups of people march together, right? So we have rhythm, and again, but under rhythm, you have some very basic building blocks. And we're going to call that the value of a note, the note value, okay? So some of you have heard of quarter notes. We've got quarter notes. Isaiah was asking, one of his brothers, he said, I know all of the notes. There's quarter notes and half notes and whole notes. And I said, well, actually, there's more than that. There's eighth notes and 16th notes and 32nd notes and 64th notes and dotted of all of those. And I'm not going to go on. Is there anything wrong? And the answer is no, okay, so I'm just prepping you. Is there anything wrong with a quarter note? Is there anything wrong with a dotted eighth note? Is there anything wrong with a triplet eighth note? No. It's a note that happens to have a value attached to it. A time value. But when you put those time values together, it's kind of like, 1 plus 1 equals 2. Notes do add up really easily if you know how to interpret them or to decipher the code, right? You end up getting to a beat. And I'm not talking about beat as in, like, you know, the beat of a song. I'm talking about it's another time value in music. It's a little bit bigger. Is there anything wrong with the first beat or the second beat or the third beat or the fourth beat of music? No. They're just a beat. But again, can there be something wrong with how notes get put together? Okay? That's what we're getting to, okay? When you have a collection of beats, you end up with a measure. Basically, you could think of a measure as being, again, we're going back to Stars and Stripes Forever. Every time you get back to your left foot, ba-dee-da-da-dee-da-da, that was another measure when I just got back to my left foot, okay? Every time you get to the left foot in a march, that's a new measure. Is there anything wrong with a specific measure? Just, you know, randomly a measure? No, there's nothing wrong, but there can be. And when you start putting things together, it's the whole or groups, small, or it's got to be groups. It's not individual notes. It's not individual note values that make a problem. It's when you put them together, they mean something else. Okay, so we talked about rhythm. Another element of music is harmony. Harmony is just multiple notes sounding together vertically. Okay, and when I say vertically, that means we don't sound them in succession. They all sound simultaneously. Okay. Is there anything wrong? What is the basic unit of harmony is the chord. I don't think there would be, I can't fathom that there would be a single chord that would be wrong. However, when you start putting chords together, you get a chord progression. And that is exactly what it sounds like. Vertical, simultaneous sonorities, let's call it, in progression. Okay? And we're going to see an example of this in a little while. Chord progressions, you can get in trouble. Just because there is a chord progression certainly does not mean that there's something wrong, because if that was the case, then there would be no music, no harmony would be allowed. And God talks about harmony. The Psalms talk about harmony. The final element of music that we're most familiar with is the melody. The melody is just the tune. It's real simple. Its basic element is the note. Again, there's nothing wrong with an individual note. There is no individual note that you can play that you would say, ha ha ha, that's an evil note. No. It's the alphabet. But when you put notes together, you end up with phrases. And again, you can break things down even further, but we're trying to stay a little bit higher level here. You can have problems when you get to phrases. Makes sense, right? Words can be bad. When you, and phrases, okay, are where you start, that's kind of the end of it, right? You can get a whole song, right? But the whole song is made out of phrases. So that's kind of the basic building blocks and how they build up. So what I want to do now is try to get through this quickly. And I want to take a minute, though, to understand a little bit about, remember we said classical music was kind of the benchmark, right? So let's take a look, though, at some genuinely just strictly secular, worldly, carnal music. We're going to look first at ragtime. And the reason I'm picking ragtime is really the grandfather, if you will, the earliest ancestor, if you will, of all modern popular music. You say, you're kidding. No, I'm not. Look it up. This is the beginning of worldly, popular, carnal, popular music. Okay? And what is it? Remember, it's not individual notes. So what are we going to look for? We need to look for some characteristics that follow through. So ragtime, understand also where ragtime began. Its name is derived from what they just called it in slang. They would rag the time, okay? So you would take something that was straight. In fact, there's a whole YouTube playlist. I don't suggest listening to it. It's garbage. That takes great hymns and rags it. So they are playing ragtime hymns. And you're just sitting there going, something's wrong here. But ragtime came from them taking just fine songs, common songs, and ragging the time. Now, the purpose for that was people were playing the piano in houses of ill repute in the red light district. I'll leave it at that. And they were trying to retain customers and provide atmosphere for their customers. And so the musicians said, ooh, you know, this would be fun. It provides a little bit more atmosphere for what we're going for. And I'm going to try to show you here. And again, if you need to see a little closer, great. But notice a lot of stuff doesn't really quite line up specifically right there. So we hit this note before we get to here, okay? So we're getting on this note, which really ought, it really belongs, if we weren't ragging the time, it belongs over here on a beat, but it happens before the beat. The same thing happens here. It lines up, but it should happen over here, but it doesn't. It happens before the beat. Okay? And we can see, and I say, it, you say, well, but there's a note right there. Yes, there is. But there's also this little curvy line right there, and that's called a tie. That means you don't re-strike the note. The only note it just hangs on longer. Okay? Also, we have this rhythm right here. And for you choir people that like my little syllables that I put, that would be ba-da-ba. Okay, ba-da-ba. So if we're going to clap it out, this is the beat. It's ba-da-ba, 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 ba-da. Okay, now, again, for you choir people or music people, you say, well, I've seen that rhythm before, and I don't think it was wrong. I would agree with you. I would call that right there a very neutral rhythm. But in this context, it's creating something. Again, words can be neutral, right? But in a context, they change meaning. Okay, let's keep going. Let's see if we can find some more some similarities with our in our line here. So we go from ragtime, we go to boogie woogie. Okay, a very common characteristic. I'm actually going to play this for you. You'll probably recognize this a little bit. The bass line. Anybody ever heard that? Yeah. Whoops. Okay. So that's a new thing a little bit, although there is a little bit of that even in some ragtime. But also, we get the same jagged lineup of rhythm again, okay? So we get, I'm going to draw your attention right down here. And it looks a little different because there's different note values, but it's exactly the same rhythm. If we still clap it out, we ba-da-ba, and it's got that tie again, and it happens here, but it's really trying to line up with this beat here. So the note comes in before the beat that it belongs to. And again, I'm trying to keep this very high level so we don't get bogged down. You go from boogie woogie and we eventually come to jazz and blues. we get the same, again, it looks different, but we get the same kind of rhythm right here and other places. This is just an example here. So it occurs before the beat it's supposed to line up with. We get to rock and roll. This is a very common, popular song from the Beatles. And again, it is the exact same rhythm. It occurs, the note that it occurs here, where it actually belongs with this beat here. Also, this note occurs where it actually belongs on this beat. This note occurs where it belongs on this beat. And you say, well, how do you know it belongs there? How can you say that? Well, that's what ragging the time is. Okay, and we're going to show you an example. Here's another one. I remember, and I'm telling on my mom, it's okay, because she recognized it eventually, and she said, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't know if I'm going to have to tell her at Thanksgiving about what the song was, because I don't know if she ever knew that it was an actual song. But she used to play on the piano. She would do, she would roll her knuckles. She can play piano, but she would roll her knuckles on all the black notes. Okay. And then she would launch into this song. I'm not going to play it for you. And then one day she realized, wait a second. That's got all the wrong stuff in it. And she stopped. She's never done it since. Okay? So, first I'm going to show you the rhythm part right here. Okay? There's that note occurring before the beat. And I'm on purpose not playing all this worldly music because I don't want to take anybody back to where they shouldn't be. Okay? But I want to draw our attention real quick to a chord progression that's just another section of the language of music. It's under harmony, and it's the way chords flow. We get, and bear with me, I'm not going to try to explain it too much, okay? I'm going to explain this. In music, you have an octave. That is, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Notice I got back to do, right? Do, do. Those eight notes have a number attached to each of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Or you could restart at 1. A number that corresponds to the chord that is built off of that note. Okay? So we go with, this is the bass line. This is, if we were to sing a bass part, we would say, do, la, fa. I can't sing that low. So, do, or if I, let's make it a little easier to sing. Do, do, la, fa, so, do, la, fa, so. Does anybody recognize that? Ba, dee, da, dee, dum, ba, dum, ba, dum, ba, dum, ba, da, 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 dee, da, dee, da, da. Okay. That's a, it is about the most widely used rock chord progression in existence. There are some variations, and I'm not saying every rock song has it, but that chord progression is a rock chord progression. It didn't come from somewhere else. They made it theirs. They created it, and it is a rock chord progression. So, a couple things that we can see wrong with that. I'm not going to get into too much. Oh, I do want to say this too. So, right here, we see these notes that we would consider kind of a melody. And I would call those little phrases or phraselets, or you could call them all kinds of names. And they go, if that was our da-da-da, da-da-da, ba-da-da, 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 ba-da-da. And here I am already, you know, getting bouncy up here, you know? Okay. The way this is written, the way it's played, it is accentuating beats number two, and we're going to count beats. It's real easy. One, two, three, four, right? So this little tune here is accentuating beat two, beat four, beat two, beat four, beat two, beat four, which is completely different than dee 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 dee. That's beat one and three, okay? And that's on purpose. That's another part of ragging the time, okay? So I want to take a look at some, quote, Christian songs, and there's going to be some good ones in here too, by the way, just to throw it in there. I want us to, this is an extremely popular song, and I'm going to play we're going to call it a clean version. You're not going to find any bad instruments. You're not going to find any objectionable anything, really, except the music. In fact, it's a congregational rendition, I guess you could call it.
Verse now. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song.
Anybody know that song? Okay. And I'm sorry to tell you, I'm not really sorry, but I'm going to tell you that that is a bad song, okay? And it's not because, and this is where I want to be as clear as I can be, and if you've got questions, please come ask. It is not because of this following video that I'm going to show you. This is the actual
In the beginning was the word,
songwriter.
And the word was with God, and the word
forgive
was
that
God.
She's, well, don't
he
forgive
was in
it,
the beginning with God.
She's not
All things were made
reciting
through
King
him,
James.
And without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light.
But this is
of
the
man.
Actual songwriter performing
and the
song. This is how she meant for the song to be performed.
And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Sing. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground.
Okay, I'm going to stop that. I will tell you, preparing any time I do these things, even the other day I was listening to some, you know, getting stuff ready, and I told Kayleen, I'm like, I've got to play something else, because now that thing's running through my head. It is irritating. So you say, well, there's nothing that doesn't line up. Well, okay, except, remember, I just pointed out that little phrase accentuates something. Bididi, dididi, dididi, dididi. Okay? It accentuates a certain beat. And every time in this song, the third beat, which happens here, you say, how's that the third beat? Just trust me, it is. That's the third beat of that measure. There's the third beat, the third beat, the third beat. You say, whoa, wait a minute. There's nothing happening on the third beat. You're right. And silence can actually be the greatest accentuation of all. When you've got a pattern going and you leave it out, everybody in the room is going to feel it in their gut. And that makes a really powerful accentuation. What's wrong with accentuating the third beat? Because that is the same as accentuating the beats 2 and 4 in the other meter, okay? I am sure I'm losing people and I'm trying to go fast, okay? Suffice it to say, that song is not wrong because you can find a bad version of it on YouTube. That song is wrong because it's written in the music. You say, can it be fixed? I believe it could probably be fixed, but boy, would it take some serious reworking, and we're going to talk about fixing things in a minute. Okay, here's another very common song. I'll get it playing. But right out the gate, well, I'll let it play for a second.
Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay.
Okay, I don't know if you could tell that, but he would constantly land on something before the piano played its boom, right? Boom is a very technical term. Choir members, you appreciate. Okay? But I'd like to point out here, right here is where the melody starts. Where he started singing was right there, okay? And he gets to, I'm finding myself at a loss. So that would be, that right there would be loss, but it really belongs to this beat. So there it is again. And he says, a loss for words, and that words, again, it belongs to this beat, but he got there ahead. And it's not just a performance, it's written in the music, right? So if I came up here and sang this song without sounding all, you know, I'm finding myself, I'm out of breath. If I didn't do it that way, would it be an okay song? No. Why? Because the music is what we're talking about, not the performance. Okay? Does that look familiar? It should look familiar, because that comes from rock music or from, it goes all the way back to ragtime, okay? Let's go to another one. Now, this one, I say, is a good song, okay? Again, you're probably going to know the song, but what I want to point out here is something interesting. We have a tie across a bar line. I know. That's what I was about to say. Oh my. Does that make it bad? Because it has a tie in it. Well, here's my thing. Do you know how letters in a certain way, and actually I've got a great word for this. I just heard an Australian say this word. Can somebody tell me what the medicine is? And this is going, you're going to say, where did that come from? What is the medicine, the main medicine that they make meth out of? Can somebody tell me? It's a very highly controlled medicine. What is it? Sudafed. Okay, can you give me the whole name? Sudafedrin. Okay, that's because you're in America. In Australia, they call it pseudoephedrine. Okay, now, which one's right? Well, it kind of probably depends on where you're at, right? But we would put the emphasis on ephedrine. Efed, right? They put it on F. Ephedrine. That sounds so weird. Okay? But isn't it interesting how letters, there's nothing wrong with letters, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the word pseudoephedrine either. But you know where letters lead, right? Just, I mean, can somebody think of another multi-syllable word? What? Oh, here we go. I don't know what you said, but it made me think of this. Achievement. Is it achievement or is it achievement? No, it's achievement, right? In fact, we know it's achieve, not achieve. It sounds like I sneezed, right? So it is with music. When I play, I'm going to go play it, because music is, by nature, a sound medium, not a spoken medium. So if I play this, where's the emphasis? It's on the on where I ended, right? God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. Okay? There was no emphasis anywhere else, but it kept leading forward, right? So, yeah, there's a tie, because you have to fill up this time. And the next phrase, they called him Jesus. So we're emphasizing the right beat every time. Now, I'm going to show you. This is not a good rendition of it. But they...
Because he lives.
Of course, they all start in the same spot.
And I can face tomorrow. Because...
Okay, so my point is, if you just listen to that, you'd think, oh, that's garbage. Well, I would agree, the performance is garbage. But let's get rid of the performance and listen to the music, and I think it's fine. Now, let me put this caveat in here. For those of you that don't know, it was written by Bill Gaither. My stance on Bill Gaither is... I don't have a problem with him as a songwriter, at least his old stuff. There are some people that won't sing any Bill Gaither songs. And that is absolutely fine. Okay? I don't have any problem with that, as long as they clarify that they're doing it because of who he is, something he did. But if you're going to say Bill Gaither is wrong because this music is wrong, I'm going to say I don't see that. Show me what's wrong with it. Don't just say it's wrong because he wrote it. Okay? So, if you've got a problem with Bill Gaither, that's fine. But if show me why the music is wrong, okay? Understand, we're talking about a different line. We're drawing a line on association, and there's nothing wrong with drawing a line on association, but let's make sure we're talking about the same thing. Okay, does that make sense? Hopefully that makes sense. Okay, here is a song, another very familiar song. And I want to just point out this anecdote a little bit, and maybe I mentioned this last week, I can't remember. But I know I've talked to pastor and multiple people about this. So I found, a few years ago, I found a discussion board that was mostly for young church musicians, church music leaders. And this one music leader got on there and said, you know, I just recently took a job at a church, and I'd really like to take the church contemporary, but the old people are dragging their feet. How do I get a church to go contemporary without a big fight on my hand? And that really piqued my interest. I was like, this is what I don't want to do. So somebody got on there and said, here's what you do. You start out in the children's program, and you get the children to sing bad stuff, because when they come out, I mean... Honestly, don't you think it's awful cute when you get the whole children's choir up here? just the awe factor will make everybody think this. They'll just get used to the music. They won't care. They won't be listening to the music. They'll just think, "Ah, that's so cute." Okay, and then you gradually start putting in the lighter stuff, like this song, "Seek Ye First," or "As the Deer." We're going to look at that one in a minute. And then it's different. It's not the same as the old stuff. And so they start thinking, they just get used to it. It's the frog in the pot syndrome. And some people say, well, how in the world could you say "Seek Ye First" is a bad song? It is scripture. Now, can I be really careful here? Let's think. Rewind with me. God is my what? Song. And what does song mean? Music, not words. You are absolutely right. This is scripture. I didn't say there was anything wrong with the scripture. I said there's something wrong with the music. And you say, well, what is wrong with the music? I want you to help me out here. Let's see where they...
Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
You hear that?
And his righteousness. And all these things
you hear it?
Shall be added unto you.
Okay, what is that? That's the backbeat. You say, well, what's the backbeat? That's that thing I was telling you about that was emphasizing 2 and 4, or in Christ alone, it was emphasizing beat 3. That's the backbeat. That is what ragtime created. That is what rock music, really all genres of popular music today, are built around. And you say, well... But do you think that Karen Lafferty, who wrote this, do you think she meant to do that? Yeah, she did, actually. She was one of the Jesus people. She was one of the hippies turned Christian that took the hippie music and put God words to it. It irritates me to no end that someone would take scripture and put worldly music to it. It's about like listening to Elvis sing "How Great Thou Art," and you're just positive he just took the Lord's name in vain when he sang that song. It is awful coming out of his mouth. As the deer, I don't really need to play this when we know the song. I'm just going to point out, remember that chord progression? Okay. It has the same chord progression. There, there, there. So we go ba dee dee. Okay. Again, that is a absolutely no other place, except I shouldn't say no other place. It came from rock music. Rock music didn't borrow it from somewhere. Rock music created that chord progression. So we're going to go, whoops. We're going to go past that one real quick. Okay, now we're going to get to the topic of fixing music. This piece is Beethoven's "Für Elise." I'll just sing it. Anybody know that song? Okay, good. Did you know that there's a ragtime version of "Für Elise"? And I told Kayleen, I said, you know, if it wasn't for ragtime, this guy is brilliant. Okay, I want you to listen a little bit. I'm not going to play the whole thing. He starts out with the normal, the correct version of it, and then he quickly rags it. So what I'm trying to show you here is how you can take a good song and make it a bad song. Thank you.
couch.
I'm telling you, it's brilliant. It's wrong, but it's brilliant. So you can take a good song, and make it bad. Okay? So by extension, you can take a bad song, you could take a rag song, and unrag it, right? It'd be really easy. I could unrag that, and look what I got. It's kind of like the joke about the composition student in college that took, and this actually does have application, I'm not just telling a joke, but the composition student had his final exam for college was to write a piece. And he thought, you know, it got crunch time. Does any college student understand that? Got to crunch time? Yep. So he said, I can't come up, I'm just drawing a blank here. I don't know what to do. So he took Beethoven's entire Fifth Symphony and he wrote it out backwards and submitted it to his professor. And his professor took it and graded it and brought him in and said, hey, I noticed something a little funny about your final composition there. He goes, oh, well, what'd you notice? I don't know what you're talking about. He said, I figured it out. You did something backwards. And I finally figured out what piece it was that you took and you made it backwards. And by the way, this was like just a few years ago. Just, we need to clarify that. He says, you plagiarized my final project from college. Okay? The teacher's name wasn't Beethoven. Okay? Just clarifying that. So, you can unrag something, you know, play it forwards, and what do you get? You get Beethoven for Elise. Okay, so could we take, you know, you go onto YouTube and you take a rag version of a hymn, and you unrag it, and what do you get? The hymn. Now, what did you have to do? You had to rewrite it, right? This guy had to rewrite for Elise to make it ragtime. Notice he didn't change the instrumentation. He didn't change what he was wearing. He didn't change what instrument he was playing even. He had to rewrite it. So let's take a look at something here. This is going to get to what I was telling you, a line we're drawing here. So I want you to look at this real quick with me. Look at this is a little tricky to see. Look right here. So we get to the word air, and that really belongs here. Or we get to here, and we get the word R, and it really belongs here. Or we get suit of suited, and it really belongs here. In fact, the ed really should be, where should it be? Right after it, too. So it's like it bumped suited this direction. Or we say to stay for long. It doesn't belong there, it belongs there. And the word there doesn't belong there, it belongs there. So that's the same stuff we're talking about, the same ragged time. Okay? Now, could I fix this? Yes, I could. In fact, we have literally a whole book of it here at church, and I could fix it. Here's my problem. And I would absolutely say, well, first of all, let me say it needs to be fixed. Okay? I'm going to play it for you just a little bit. And you might know the song, and I understand, I'm not, just hang on. Thank you. Okay? It doesn't sound terrible. But man, it's really, if you start trying to figure out where you are on a beat, it is really, 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 really hard. It's very ambiguous, and I think it's on purpose that way. But I could fix it. And we could say, well, it's good music. Here's my problem. And this is the line that we've decided. I've talked with Pastor about this. And when we have to fix a song, what song am I fixing? This, whatever song it is, right? So if I were, so this one's called, I think it's called Mountain Air. Whatever it's called. Let's call it Mountain Air. If I fix Mountain Air and I get up and sing it, what am I singing? Mountain Air. So if somebody goes and looks up and says, oh, look at that, Brother Schrock sang Mountain Air. And they're like, wait a minute. I thought Mountain Air wasn't good. What did I just do? I just confused people. And what are we not supposed to do? Confuse people. Okay? No, I'm not going to say, once I fix it, it's fixed. There's nothing wrong with it. But I'm going to draw, we're drawing a line on, no, we're not going to do that here because we want to, if we have to fix a song, I still am playing that song, just a fixed version of it. Okay? So I just wanted to, I wanted to get that out there and point that out, but also point out it does need to be fixed, unfortunately. Okay? Let's go on to another way that people try to fix. Now this is a, I'm going to get this playing because it gets, takes a while to get to the song. But basically what's going on here is a very popular Baptist college group takes a song and fixes it by wearing the right stuff, by not sounding as breathy as the original, and etc. But they don't change the music.
Do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen?
Okay. I'm going to show you the real version here in a second. But I want to look.